participate in this series of lessons that we're having on Wednesday night. I commend Brother Leip for planning the series as he has, especially since our theme for this year is the year of the family. I think this fits in very well with that. Some of you may remember a little over a year ago, I was presenting a lesson on the use of our buildings, especially at the time that we were planning and beginning to build the activity center. And I began that lesson that night by suggesting I'm going to read to you every passage in the scripture that has to do with the church building. I remained silent for about 10 seconds and said, I just did. I can almost do that tonight, David, on my subject that I have tonight, on Timothy's family. There is probably about as little said about Timothy's family in specifics in the Bible as any family that would be mentioned. There is a danger when there is just a little said, and that is that it leaves room for speculation. We have a tendency to speculate more when there is less said. There are some subjects about which there is no room for speculation at all because God has dotted every I and crossed every T as far as the subject is concerned. And there are other subjects where maybe there's just a mention of a few facts, and we take those facts and we begin to think about them and what might have been, and we speculate, and I realize that there is a danger in that, though I plan to do a bit of it tonight as far as this subject is concerned. There are two basic passages that we'll be using tonight as a foundation for our thoughts concerning Timothy's family. One is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is a verse that you and I have heard quoted many, many times in our lives, I'm sure. Paul simply says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." We have three generations mentioned in that verse in Timothy's family. We have Timothy mentioned, we have his mother Eunice mentioned, we have his grandmother Lois mentioned. In Acts the 16th chapter, a time when Timothy is associated with Paul in the missionary work, Paul, or at least Luke, the writer we think of Acts, makes a reference to Timothy and makes a reference to Timothy's family in the very first part of Acts 16. "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus," or Timothy, "the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was Greek." And you know that the rest of the story there has to do with the decision that was made for Timothy to be circumcised because of the circumstances here, and that everything might be taken care of, that he would be able to have the right kind of influence in the work that he was going to do, and that's another subject for another time. But in this passage, we have a few facts told us about Timothy's family. There was a certain disciple. Timothy was a Christian, follower of Jesus. He was the son of a certain woman. She was of Jewish background, and she was a believer. But his father was a Greek. Now, I suppose that the greatest desire that we have in our families, especially where there are children, is for a child to grow up to be successful. We may have our different definitions of what true success is, but my definition of true success of a young person would be to grow up to be a faithful Christian. And that would embody a lot that could be said about what is meant by success. Many times down through the years, when we have emphasized to our young people those in the Bible who would be good examples for youth, we probably have had Timothy near the top of the list as the example of a young man. In fact, it's not uncommon when there is a training class in a local congregation to call it what? a Timothy class. Many times when the young ladies are having a class, we may call it a Dorcas class. You know the idea that's associated with that. And I've always felt that one of the best examples for young ladies that can be found anywhere in the Bible is the example of Rebecca back in the Old Testament. And of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. But I suppose Timothy comes to mind as quickly as any young man in the Bible. When we start talking to our young people about growing up to be successful in the youthful years. I don't know how old Timothy was at the times that we have references made to him. There are those who think that he might have been as old as 40 at the time that he's associated with Paul. But at least he was considered a young man from Paul's vantage point, because Paul often referred to him, how? As a son. Now usually, you would expect a preacher like Paul to refer to a co-worker as a brother. But he always seemed to refer to Timothy, and there's another young man associated with him by the name of Titus. Paul seems to have looked at these young men as his own children. He thought of him as a son. So at least he was a younger preacher at that time. Here is an example of a young man growing up to be a success. He was a success as far as his attitude was concerned, because Paul said, I perceive that I find in you the same thing I found in your mother and your grandmother, and that was what? Unfeigned, and that word means pure. Unfeigned, pure faith. He said, Timothy, I perceive that this faith is in you. And I like to look at that, and I believe the analysis will show that Paul, in a sense, is saying this is not an inherited faith, but Timothy, it's yours. He said, I saw a pure faith in the second generation before you, and I saw a pure faith in the first generation before you, and I see a pure faith in you. And then as we read the books addressed to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and we see especially the attitude that Paul had toward him and the admonition that he gave him, we have what I believe to be one of the best pictures in the Bible of a successful young man. A young man who grew up to be a success from God's standpoint. And yet, he grew up in a split home. Now, I think all of us would agree that if it is at all possible, it is better for there to be a Christian husband and a Christian wife when they're married. And if not at that point, when a child is born, that there be a Christian father and a Christian mother. And certainly if not at that point, during those earlier years, those formative years where there is the teaching that is to be done, that the ideal situation would be to have both a father and a mother who believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ and work together to train that child that is born into that family and is reared in that family. In fact, many of you will remember that our lesson last Sunday morning dealt with who can find a faithful father. We talked about the importance of the man and the importance of the father in the family. And yet we have a case here where a young man grows up to be a successful Christian, where he grows up in a setting without the help of a Christian father, because we have a classic example here of a split home. Now I recognize that there are many ways that there can be a split home. There are homes which are begun where one person is very rich and the other one is very poor. That can have its problems. There are homes that are begun where one of the partners is of a country background and the other one is of a city background. And if the girl's of the city background and the boy's of the country background, that can especially sometimes be a problem. There may be some differences between the two, educationally speaking. There may be some differences socially speaking. There may be great differences as far as desires and goals in life are concerned. And there are a lot of ways in which there can be what you and I refer to as a split home, a split relationship. But here is the case that we're normally talking about when we talk about a split home. And that is that one is a Christian and one is not. And we have that exact situation here. There are a lot of things about Timothy's father that I don't know. In fact, the only thing that's said about his father is said in about six words. But his father was a Greek. I think we can draw the conclusion from that his father was still living at this time, or at least had lived in a major part of Timothy's life, because why would there be mention of his father at this time if he were not living, unless the significance of the occasion would cause them to go back? I would assume that his father was living. And I would assume that there may have been a good relationship between his mother and his father. At least I have no reason to assume otherwise. I don't know. I think we could assume that his father may have provided for Timothy, physically speaking. I don't know. But at least there's nothing to indicate otherwise. It may very well be that his father was a good man. He may have been a good moral man. And he may have had some influence on Timothy in that way. We don't know. He may have provided for his family. At least there's no indication otherwise. At least provided in a physical sense. But that's all we know about the father. His background was the opposite of being a Jew. He was a Greek. He was a Gentile. I would draw the conclusion, in my thinking at least, from the way this is said here, that his father probably did not believe in God. Because there is the statement made that his mother was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, I realize he didn't go ahead and say, and a disbeliever, and here again, as I said before, we're speculating on some of this. The only one thing that we know, or really two things we know, he had a father that at least was associated with him in some of his life, and his father's background was of a Greek or a Gentile. I suppose there is a third thing that we can know about that father from what is said here and what is almost necessarily inferred or implied that we would infer from this. And that is that his father was not involved in training Timothy to be the kind of young man that he was. Now, I'd want to be careful with that because, again, there's a possibility his father could have been a good moral man and maybe could have trained Timothy in some of the qualities that he had. But at least relative to his understanding of the Scripture and his relationship to Christ, he had only one parent that was responsible for that. And that brings us to talk for a few minutes about his mother. I have always been partial to Eunice. When I look at women in the Bible that stand out above others, and there are so many great women talked about, both the Old Testament and the New, and it's apparent that the mother of Jesus was such an outstanding lady. But when I began to look at all the different ones, the two that stand out in my thinking are Jochebed and Eunice. Jochebed was whose mother? Moses. And the reason that Jochebed stands out so much is she had Moses for only a short period of time, didn't she? And somebody else will probably be discussing Moses' family, and I don't want to get into that. But look what that mother did on that occasion. And then you come and look at Eunice. And there are others that may be some of your favorites. Hannah is at least close second to these, if not right along with them. But Eunice developed a young man that was a prince of Christians without the spiritual help of her husband. It can be done. It's not the ideal. And I continue to encourage our young people as Christians to marry Christians, and not just Christians in name, Christians in action. Because sometimes one can marry one that's a member of the church and find that that member of the church doesn't have the same goals and is not interested in really being involved in the work of the church as one might be. But I think we need to continue to emphasize to our young people, notwithstanding what took place in this family situation, that it is better for true Christians to marry true Christians and work together and have a Christian home even when a child is born into it. But if that's not the case, and especially for those who are already married and it's not the case, I think there is a lot of encouragement in Timothy's family for the one who is a Christian. Timothy's mother was an outstanding person. And yet there's not a lot said about her that causes me to make that statement. What causes us really to think that Timothy's mother was such an outstanding person? It's Timothy. It's what we see in him. So many times you and I will see someone and we'll say, and I don't know where this phrase was coined, but you are the spitting image. I don't even know how you spell spitting in that case. You are the spitting image of your father. And the older I get, when I look in a mirror, I see more of my dad than I used to, and especially my grandfather. I look like them physically. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the spiritual relationship. And when we see Timothy working with Paul and we see the good things that he's doing, we necessarily think more of his mother. But notice that she had an unfeigned faith. She had a pure faith. That, along with another passage or two, helps us to understand some characteristics of this woman, I think. There's another passage that gives us an indication of the family over in 2 Timothy 3. We're very familiar with verses 16 and 17, all scripture given by inspiration of God and profitable and so on. But let's back up to verse 15. Or really verse 14. Here Paul says, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I think that passage sheds some light on the subject of Timothy's family. Here is Timothy, a young man who has developed in such a way that Paul doesn't say, Timothy, you need to change a lot of things in your life. What does he say? Continue. You just need to continue being the kind of young man that you are. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. That could mean a lot of things. That could include a lot of things. And has been assured of. Think of that word assurance and tie it in with that unfeigned faith. What does faith give us? Assurance. The things you've been assured of, the things that you have in such a way that they'll stick with you and you can stand on them, and they're not something that's going to let you waver from side to side. He says you continue in those, and now here he gives us an insight to how Timothy had these things. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Who do you think taught him those scriptures? I don't believe his father did. I believe there were three people especially that did at the time that this is being said, and one of those is Paul. I think Paul had already had an influence on Timothy and may have been including himself in this first statement here. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He knew at this point that Timothy had learned a lot from him. By the way, 2 Timothy is which letter of Paul's? Probably his last letter, isn't it? And so by this time, he had had his association with Paul, and Paul knew that he had taught him these things, but then he gives us another point that gives us some insight. How long had Timothy known the Scriptures? From a child. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I don't know how old a child is. A child covers several years. But when you put this passage with 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, the unfeigned faith that was seen in his mother and then also in his grandmother, I believe Timothy had been taught the scripture of God by those two people, basically. By his mother with the help of his grandmother. And lest I run out of time at the end, I want to stop right here and be sure that we get this point in. I think there is a great lesson here with Timothy's family to grandparents. There is a tendency sometimes for grandparents to disagree with parents and not back them up in the rearing of their children. My dad's attitude toward punishment changed from the time I was a child till my children were children. Changed drastically. And I made up my mind then that I was not going to let that happen to me. And I'm still working on it. I'm not perfect on that, but I think that I am aware of it enough that I'm not letting that happen to me, because I try every time my older two grandchildren leave my presence, whether it's here or at their house, the last thing I try to say to them is, be sure to do what your dad and mother tell you to do. I believe that's the place that we as grandparents play. And it seems to me that this is what is being said here, at least indirectly, when he says, I saw this unfeigned faith in your mother, and I saw it also where? In your grandmother. Now, not only can there be a team with the husband and wife working together, there can be a team with the parents and grandparents working together for the rearing of a child. And there are so many ways in which grandparents can be influential. Perhaps we do not realize how influential we can be with our grandchildren. And if we are interested in teaching them the principles that are right, and we support their parents as long as their parents are teaching them the basic truth and guiding them in the right way, that they know that they have our support and they have our help. And those times when the grandchildren come to visit with us, and they're with us alone, away from their parents for a few days, the attitude that we take and the lessons that we teach and the support that we give to their parents is a tremendous point of importance. And I think really that maybe sometime we need to take a whole lesson and just talk about grandparenting. I saw a license plate or one of those things on the front of a bumper just today. He said, let me tell you about my grandchildren. And one fellow said, I tell you about my grandchildren and show you their picture. The other one said, no, and I appreciate it. You've heard all of the jokes about grandparents in this sense. But from a serious standpoint, grandparents need to back the parents in doing what is right and help with the teaching and set the right kind of example. I believe that's what we see in Lois. And now let's come to the mother. Here's the key. A godly mother can have influence that is beyond our comprehension. I believe also a godly father can. And though there may be more difficulty with a godly father rearing a child without the help of a God-fearing mother than it is the way that we have the case before us, that can be done too. Here's what I would suggest to you that we see in the mother of Timothy. Number one, we see an example. And I put that first because I believe that's where it needs to go. It's almost impossible for anybody to teach unless they live what they teach. And parents cannot pull the wool over the eyes of their children. When children grow up in a home and they see love and they see integrity and they see honesty and they know that their dad is just as honest as he can be or their mother is just as honest as she can be, there's no lesson that anybody can teach that's more important than that. And when they see a parent reading from God's Word, and evidently that's what Eunice did, and they hear prayer and they see where the emphasis is and they know what's important, whether it's God that's more important than other things, where the priorities are, I think there's nothing that can take the place of that. Eunice was an example. I also believe we need to point out that she used the appropriate time in the instruction of her son. She began when he was a child. What does the book of Proverbs say? Train up a child. Look at your word up. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And that verse is another lesson. I'm not for sure that we understand all that's involved in it, but I am sure of this one thing by observation and experience, that when a child is taught the truth, he cannot get away from that teaching. He may violate it, but he can't get away from it. And I'm sure that that passage at least teaches that if we instill in our children the truth when they're younger, that no matter what happens and what other influences are involved, they're always going to have that teaching there in the back of their minds. They can't get away from it. And how many times have we seen that bring them back, even when they've gone astray? But as I said, that verse is another lesson for another time. But she started with a child. We need to begin to take our children to worship as soon as they are able to go. We need to be sure that they're in Bible class. A family that has a child asks the question, are we going to Bible study or worship today, has a problem. There ought never to be that question. It ought to just be understood. Are we going to tell the truth? Are we going to do these? Those questions ought never to be asked. They ought to be taught in such a way, by example and by word of mouth, that it's clearly understood. She started when Timothy was a little fellow. I would imagine she may have been reading from the scriptures, and I know what she taught him because it said he'd known the scriptures from a child up. She may have been reading to him before he was able to understand. That wouldn't be a bad idea for us to use today. And notice also the standard that she used. Whatever else she taught Timothy, she taught him God's word. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And folks, there's nothing else that will prepare a person for any kind of life or any phase of life more than knowing the Word of God. Just pouring God's Word in and knowing it, even though we don't remember everything that's there. As the water washes the dirt out of an old potato basket, God's Word will clean our minds as it goes through, even if we don't remember all of it. She taught him the Word of God. She would have been teaching him Old Testament scriptures at the time that he was a young child. But he knew those scriptures. And Paul says these are the scriptures that are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation, which is in Christ. She'd been able to teach him the Old Testament scriptures and even teach him about Christ from the Old Testament scriptures. She started at the right time and she used the right standard. I believe there is another indication here, and I may be reaching out in left field to pull it in, but I think we see a mother who worked to have her son associated with the right kind of friends. We see it at least later with Paul, don't we? How many of you that are older here tonight had the experience of having a gospel preacher stay in your home during a gospel meeting? I'm not going to ask those of you that are under 20 how many of you have had that, because most of you haven't. That's some of the greatest things that could ever happen. And when parents are always glad for their children to bring their good friends home, they won't have to worry too much about their having bad friends. It seems to me that there is an indication here, at least, that Eunice saw to it that Timothy associated with the right kind of friends. And taking into consideration that his father was a Greek and maybe not even a believer in Christ, would it have been even more important for him to have been associated with some men who were Christians to see what Christ meant from their standpoint? I think you can see why I believe that Timothy's mother is one of the finest Christian ladies that ever lived. We've looked at his father tonight. We don't know much about him. We know that he was a Greek, and we know from the context that evidently he was not involved in the spiritual teaching of Timothy. We've seen his grandmother, and we know from the teaching that she was a fine Christian woman with pure faith, and we would surmise that she was involved in helping to teach Timothy, at least set the right kind of example. We have seen some of his friends and his associates, especially Paul and those that would have been associated with them during these times and the influence that they had. And I'm persuaded that Paul probably had somewhat the influence of a father on this young man. And above everything else, we have seen the influence of a godly mother, setting the right kind of example, starting at the right time, using the right standard, and concerned about the overall welfare of her sons.